Messiah's Branch Broadcast, a one-hour prophecy program on the American Voice Radio Network, featuring Pastor Dan of Messiah's Branch Ministry. And now, here's Pastor Dan.
Greetings, saints, and welcome to the Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour. We're broadcasting live from the Flint Hills of Kansas, and we're on the American Voice Radio Network. Today's date is
May, June 6, 2019.
It's not for sure.
It's not May, June.
Saints, the world is in turmoil. Most just do not realize that, but we are in that time of the end, and that's the time before Messiah's glorious return. So it's time to get out, sin the world, and look to the holy city. Look to the one who suffered and died for you. Hear the sound of the shofar. Heed the warning. Get right now before it's too late. Please make this choice for Yeshua tonight. If you need help after the program, call me. I'll pray for you or with you. If you get the machine, please leave your name, number, prayer request, and or message.
And the phone number is 620-878-4682. That's 620-878-4682. And in case of an emergency, text Dan on his cell at 316-619-4886. 316-619-4886. You can always find the updates and the breaking news at the Wichita, about the mission, and about the Wichita Mission Church, radio program archives, and contact information all on the Ministry Hub, which is simply prophecyhour.com, prophecyhour.com.
Folks, remember, we're a national satellite radio program which is simulcast live on the net internationally. It's on YouTube and some FM station. So pray about supporting airtime. On another note, let's thank our listener base.
As Maputo, Mozambique.
Mozambique.
Helsinki. Helsinki, Finland. Stockholm, Sweden.
Stockholm.
Melbourne, Australia, and in good old cities of the USA like Raleigh, North Carolina, Fort Wayne, Indiana, Plano, Texas, Atlanta, Georgia, and Wichita, Kansas still remains the largest group of listeners that listen to the podcast when it posts later tonight.
Folks, you'd think that I'd look for cities that stump her just like.
And I was going to say that, yeah.
That's not true.
I think he looks for the ones that he knows I'll have trouble stumbling with, so yeah.
No, that's not true. That's really not true. But that shows you how we're on the same brainwave. We were both thinking the same thing, you know. But anyway, follow us and share us on Twitter. That's Pastor Dan Catlin at Branch 77. Pastor Dan Catlin at Branch 77. Now a prayer and we'll get on with tonight's great program. Your Heavenly Father and Yeshua HaMashiach's name I pray. Father, I just pray that what goes out tonight on radio is according to your will, not our will, Father, so that it glorifies you and not the world. Father, help me give us the right words for the people. Lift the veil from their hearts, their minds, or ears. Just lift the veil from them, Father, so they might see and hear. In Yeshua HaMashiach's mighty name, amen and amen. Well, first, today, President Trump is over in United Kingdom. We've been over there because of D-Day. D-Day is the invasion that led to the defeat of the Germans. It's the biggest invasion there ever has been, historically, period. Biggest armada ever assembled, everything, and at D-Day, the 6th of June. And what's really funny is CNN, the two top people in CNN that are always blasting Trump, well, one of the guys tried to make him look bad, like he was making it be late, and it wasn't him when they was waiting on the French president, not our president, to start the thing. But they actually came out and praised him for his great speech in Normandy. And the headline was, when I clicked on Fox News, is it says, "Hell freezes over." The CNN praises Trump. And so I had to laugh, but he did a really good job. And so, amen to that. Here, my heart, I do want to thank all our veterans that fought in D-Day and all their families that endured tragedies because of it. because they did the, they call that the greatest generation, the ones that fought in World War II. My heart and my hats off to you folks because, and your families for the sacrifices that you made so that we might be free right now. Otherwise, you know, we would be, I don't know what, talking Nazi or whatever, German, the Jews wouldn't be on the planet and so on and so forth. So
possibility.
Well, right, but the Father did use us. Have we not interceded, had there not been a great country like America, there was, they were losing. Hitler was going full blown. He was winning. And so the Father used America to do it. He had us there to do it, just like he used us to preserve Israel from the first. And he is still using us to this day. Although with the things that are in America, it's horrific. It's just like Sodom. If you look at the TV sets or any of the media, you know, and you see all these gay people and transgender and all these different things going on and wanting to say sex with children is okay and letting children dance in gay bars and all those things. That is Sodom and Gomorrah. And Yeshua said it would be as in the days of Sodom, you know,
and
when
Gomorrah.
We return.
Right.
And so America, America will pay a price for all this and for the murder of children. At what point, I don't know. I'm not the Father. But I do believe that we have a window of grace because we are fighting back now, and you can see that with Trump, and you can see that with them, state after state, passion, huge abortion laws that makes abortions almost an impossibility. And so that's a great thing. But I don't know if it's by far enough. I do believe that when it's time that America in some mannerism is going to have to be out of the way or stand down so that Israel will call out to Yahweh instead of calling out for America to help us, because that's what the word says. But anyway, moving right along. So you've been doing this canning thing. What are we talking about?
The Omar. Pentecost.
Pentecost. Okay. Well, what is Pentecost?
The day the Holy Spirit ascended.
Ascended to who?
Upon the people.
On the people. It's the day the Holy Spirit. Yeshua said, let's go with this. Most all Christians know the story of Pentecost, or you would think they would until yesterday. I was kind of shocked when I found out that a person that is a good Christian, so to speak, won't mention names, but, you know, he said he was even surprised about Pentecost because he wouldn't have known it unless somebody had reminded him. Now, to the Christian church, Pentecost is hailed as the start of the church. You know, the New Testament people believe that Pentecost is the starting day, the birthday of the church, which is entirely wrong. You know, it's all about a call. The word church anyway is ecclesia, which is a called out group of believers. And, you know, so it's not the birthday of the church, but indeed it is indeed something big that happened. But if you read the story carefully, you know, about what happened at Pentecost, then, you know, there's a lot more to it. So the word Pentecost, letter, what does it mean?
It means 50.
50? Why 50 days?
Because.
You know that by heart. Why 50 days?
That's what the Lord said. Count seven Sabbaths after the Sabbath during Passover and. It's Pentecost.
Yeah, amen.
The 50th day would be Pentecost, and it falls on a Sunday every time.
Yeah, which is the first day of the week. Yeah, so exactly. So we're supposed to count. We count 50 days is what it boils down to.
Right, seven Sabbaths, 50 days, seven Sabbaths.
Right, which
Sunday will be day 50 this year.
Right, the first
this
day
of the coming
week.
Sunday.
Okay,
yeah.
So, well, here's the scripture that says it. Why don't you just tell me?
Which also means it starts Saturday at dark. It starts Saturday at dark and ends Sunday at dark. That's the 50 days, yeah.
Right.
You shall count for yourselves from the day after the Sabbath, from the day when you bring the Omer of the waving, seven Sabbaths, they shall be complete. Until the day after the seventh Sabbath, you shall count 50 days. There shall be a holy convocation for yourselves. You shall do no laborious work. It is an internal decree in your dwelling place for your generation. Leviticus 21:15-16 and 21.
Okay. So now everybody, now people talk, now not only am I shocked, I'm really shocked that nowadays, and I've asked other Christians, you know, recently, you know, I said, oh, yeah, Pentecost is coming this next week, you know, and all that. And it's like they're oblivious, but they're believers and they're supposed to be New Testament believers. You know, this is when the Holy Spirit descended, you know, on the people. And we're going to go deeper into that. But while the church marks it as their birthday, there's something else that greater that happened beforehand. First off, the day was already called Pentecost. It happened on Pentecost, but the day was already called Pentecost. It wasn't named Pentecost after that happened. And we'll try and clear that up here in a second. So when was what we consider the first Pentecost? The first Pentecost happened in Exodus. And here, Mother, why don't you read this real quick?
Exodus 19:16-25. And it came to pass on the third day in the morning that there were thunders and lightnings and a thick cloud upon the mount, and the voice of the trumpet exceedingly loud, so that all the people that was in the camp trembled.
Stop. Now, what I forgot to say ahead of time, now, this is Moses and the people at Mount Sinai. Moses has got the people freed. They've crossed all the burdens. They're at the bottom of Mount Sinai, and we'll pick it up from there. Okay, go to 17.
And Moses brought forth the people out of the camp to meet with Yahweh, and they stood at the nether part of the mount. And Mount Sinai was altogether on a smoke, because the Lord descended upon it in fire, and the smoke thereof ascended as the smoke of a furnace, and the whole mount quaked greatly. And when the voice of the trumpet sounded long and waxed louder and louder, Moses spake, and Yahweh answered him by a voice.
Okay, stop a second. Now, you know, when I was doing some, if you do some research, now there's a tradition, and this is written in a thing called the Mishnah, but it's a tradition, that this trumpet that was sounded, let's back up here. You remember, you know, the story of Isaac, you know, Abraham and Isaac, you know, what happened? You know, Abraham goes up
to sacrifice him, and then
there's a ram, right?
Right.
Caught in the thicket. Okay, and it makes a sacrifice. Now, the tradition is that ram was Yahweh created that ram at the beginning of things, and that ram he kept waiting until the day. That day, okay?
Okay.
So he was, the lamb without, or the ram without, was without spot or blemish, created from the foundations of the earth, okay? And so then when he was sacrificed, the ram had two horns. It's the tradition. Now, this is a tradition. We can't prove this or whatever, but it's a tradition that they've always had, you know, that goes along with the rest of the story. But the ram's horns were taken off and made Yahweh made shofars out of them. And this shofar was, one of the shofars was only blown once, and that was here at Pentecost, sounding of a trumpet. And then but still there's another ram's horn, supposedly, you know, by tradition. And it will be blown when Yeshua returns. Wonderful story. Can be true, maybe, maybe not. We have no way to prove it like we can prove the word. So when this trumpet sounded, then what happened, Mother?
And the Lord came down upon Mount Sinai on the top of the mount, and the Lord called Moses up to the top of the mount, and Moses went up. And the Lord said unto Moses, go down, charge the people, lest he break through until the Lord to gaze at, and many of them shall perish. And let the priest also come, which come near to the Lord, sanctify themselves, lest the Lord break forth upon them. And Moses said unto the Lord, the people cannot come up the Mount Sinai, for thou chargest us, saying, set bounds about the mount and sanctify it. And the Lord said unto him, away, get thee down, and thou shalt come up, thou and Aaron with thee, but let not the priest and the people break through to come up unto the Lord, lest he break forth upon them. Lest he break forth upon them.
Right. In other words, he was afraid. Moses, not Yahweh. Moses was really the one that was afraid that
he was going to strike them dead as they come up.
Well, yeah, he's threatened to a bunch of times because yes. He thought he might strike them dead if they break through,
right.
You know, and touch it. because he knows what holy ground is. But, you know, he doesn't, Moses doesn't realize how scary this whole situation is going to be to the people. So we do, but so the word always gives other confirmations, and there's more than one place in Deuteronomy, but I didn't want to list a whole bunch of places that is, but this, I'm going to have you read this scripture right here, which proves, because out of two witnesses, you know, the word that gives us two or three witnesses to that an event did happen. So this tells us what, just read it, it's self-explanatory.
This is Deuteronomy 4:11-13. And you came near and stood under the mountain, and the mountain burned with fire into the midst of heaven with darkness, clouds, and a thick darkness. And the Lord spake unto you out of the midst of the fire. Ye heard the voice of words, but saw no similitude, only ye heard a voice. And he declared unto you his covenant, which he commanded you to perform, even 10 commandments, and he wrote them upon 2 tablets of stone.
Okay, so what that plainly says is, it says just now, this is Deuteronomy, and we were in Exodus, but this is a retelling of what happened in Exodus. So what it says here is you know, it showed him, there was thunderings and lightnings and everything. They did not see him, but the thunderings and lightnings and smoke and everything, but they heard him verbally give them the 10 commandments, amen, which was the covenant, which that's why they were placed in the Ark of the Covenant. The only thing placed in them was the covenant, which was
the 10 commandments.
The 10 commandments. That's the moral law. That's the 10 commandments. That moral law is still in effect, which we'll see that plainly in a little bit. So, of course, when Moses did all that, well, let's see, how much time do we got? Okay, we'll finish this part of it. Okay, so what happened then? So Moses goes, the people then, they were scared to death. They told Moses, from now on, man, you know, and I'm just paraphrasing, but they're saying, from now on, you go up and talk to him. We
for
will,
us.
Yeah, for us. Will you just come back down and tell us what he said? Because
yeah.
We don't want no part of this action, you know. And so that's why that there has to be an intermediator between us and Yahweh, because he attempted to talk to us straightforward, and the people chickened out. Okay, so Moses goes up, and when he come back down, they were making a golden calf, and so Moses got all upset about it, and you know, Moses and who was waiting on him up on the hill, if you remember,
was it Aaron?
No, wasn't Aaron
up on the hill?
Begins with the J. He went up.
Joshua.
Joshua
yeah.
Went up with him, and Joshua
waited
on the side.
Aaron's
of the
one that said the fire.
Well, okay, so now when they come back in, Moses saw the calf and everything, and read this.
Okay, and it came to pass as soon as he came nigh unto the camp that he saw the calf and the dancing, and Moses angered waxed hot, and he cast the tablets out of his hands and broke them beneath the mount. And he took the calf which they had made and burnt it in the fire and ground it up to powder and strawed it upon the water and made the children of Israel drink of it.
Stop. Now, at the real Mount Sinai that Joel found, they've even found the river and everything. All these things there where they even, you know, put this, gold, you know, the powder in and strawed it with water where they got the water. So all that stuff's there. Anyway, let's go on.
And Moses said unto Aaron, what did this people unto thee that thou hast brought so great a sin upon them? And Aaron said, let not the anger of my Lord wax hot. Thou knowest the people, and they are set on mischief. And for they said unto me, make us gods which shall go before us. For as for this Moses, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we want not what is become of him. And I said unto them, whosoever hath any gold, let them break it off. So they gave it to me, and then I cast it into the fire, and there came out this calf.
Wow. Did you hear all that? He put the blame on the people, and he put the blame on the fire. But the word tells us that Aaron
formed it.
Yes, he formed
melted
it.
Melted the gold and
okay.
Formed
so,
it.
So then, moving right along, so what happened next?
And then Moses stood in the gate of the camp and said, who is on the Lord's side? Let him come up unto me. And all the sons of Levi gathered themselves together unto him. And he said unto them, Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, Put every man his sword by his side, and go in and out from the gate to gate throughout the camp, and slay every man and his brother, and every man and his companion, and every man and his neighbor. And the children of Levi did according to the word of Moses, and there fell of the people that day about 3,000 men.
Okay, now I want you folks to pay attention now. Remember 3,000. When we come back, we're going to be going to a break in a minute, but when we come back, you're going to see what that has to do, and we'll find it in the book of Acts. But remember, this is the beginning of a marriage covenant relationship with Yahweh and his people, and that means us. We're his bridegroom. We were grafted in among them. Yahweh never threw them away, never divorced Israel, none of that. That's all a load of garbage when people say that, he divorced Israel. No, he did not divorce Israel. This covenant is still in effect, and this is a covenant. And we'll do a program on covenants to let the people understand how the covenants are stacked upon. They're not really done away with, especially, you know, when you have, this is the second covenant. It goes along with the first covenant, which is the everlasting covenant, made with Abraham, where it's called the covenant of grace. And that's one that allows us all to be grafted in. And it allows all this to happen because, and it talks about it. It talks about the promised seed. Abraham's covenant talks about Yeshua, as does the word entirely. Yeshua and the gospel is all the way through the Bible. In fact, Joseph Farah from WorldNet Daily wrote a book called The Gospel in every book of the Bible, and you should absolutely get it. But anyway, the people were not broken off. Some were broken off because of disbelief, but they'll be grafted back in, the word tells us, and we find that in the New Testament and Romans 11. But we were grafted in among them, and so these laws still have effect. And I'll prove to you that these laws are still in effect by going to where but the book of Acts. In the book of Acts, when we come back, we'll talk about the so-called birthday of the church. But it's not really the birthday. The Father has intent from the first. The assembly started with two people. And so, anyway, tell them where they can find us, and we'll go to break.
You can find us, all the information about us, how to contact us, all about the mission, the radio, everything's over there at prophecyhour.com. Prophecyhour.com.
We'll be back.
Go away, Pastor Dan will be right back.
Pruning before the harvest is a necessary thing to help us bear more fruit for all and to glorify the King. Jesus is the true vine, his Father holds the shoes. At times the pruning hurts so bad, and we have to shed some tears. The end time harvest is coming soon. We must be thankful if we've been pruned. What it does is makes us strong and bear more fruit for Him. He does it 'cause He cares for us, and that's why He cuts us thin. When He's through, we may not see the good in what He's done. It may look bad, but we still know we're grafted in His Son. The end time harvest is coming soon. We must be thankful if we've been pruned. our leaves shoot forth as the sun begins to shine. We know it surely withered if we weren't within the line. Soon the fruit begins to grow more abundant than before. And as it's fit for others' use, we keep on bearing more. The end time harvest is coming soon. We must be thankful if we've been pruned. Must be thankful we've been pruned. Must be thankful we've been pruned. Must be thankful.
Philosophy has been defined as the love of wisdom, a search for a general understanding of values and reality by chiefly speculative rather than observational means. At the time Paul wrote the letter to the Colossians, men attempted to add to the commandments of God. These man-made ordinances could not be found in Scripture. Paul said that these philosophical rules and regulations, which he called handwriting of ordinances, were against men, were contrary to them, and that they were nailed to the cross. Based on what Paul said, today's philosophers, those who search for an understanding of values by speculative rather than by observation of Scripture, attempt to nail God's commandments to the cross when they find one that interferes with the wisdom of man. They would lead us to believe that some of God's commandments are contrary to us. But let us have a look at what the Bible says. Were God's commandments against men, contrary to us? Absolutely not. Scripture says that God's commandments are righteous commandments, that they are faithful, that they are delight, that they are truth, and that they will not pass away, for the truth does not change. This is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not grievous. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. All His commandments are sure. They stand fast forever and ever, and are done in truth and uprightness. I'm Richard Reeves with Just the Facts. For more information, contact Partakers Publications, Post Office Box 23031, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28227. Or visit our website at www.toolong.com.
Back. This is Pastor Dan Catlin and Pastor Dan and Linda Catlin, and you're listening to Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour on the American Voice Radio Network. Well, I thought I would give a little song, but I just thought we'll see if this works. So let's try this.
Every hand. coming back. Things may get worse if I keep the Savior. I won't need to worry.
Okay, we're back. Well, I hope you enjoyed that little song, folks. Anyway, moving right along. So now we were talking about Pentecost and where did we leave off at anyway? Oh, yeah, the 3,000 people were killed, weren't they?
Yep.
Yeah, okay. Well, all right. Well, now then, folks, I want to – this is all really, really important, but I'm going to take you to Acts chapter 2. And just bear along with me and listen here. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all here with faith and in one accord. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house and they were where they were sitting. And it appeared unto them with cloven tongues like fire, and it set upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And they were there dwelling at Jerusalem, Jews, devout men, out of every nation under heaven. And now when the noise was abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded, because that every man heard them speak in his own language. And they were amazed and marveled, saying one to another, behold, not all these people speak Galatians. So they're hearing, so what happened is the apostles are in the upper room. The Holy Ghost descends upon them, and so they come out from the upper room, the same place where they had Passover, and they come out and they speak to the crowd, but they're speaking to men there from that have all different languages. It says there were, it says, and now we hear every man in our own tongue where we were born, Parthians, Medes, Elamites, and dwellers in Mesopotamia, and Judea, and Cappadocia, and Pontus, and Asia, Pyra and Philandria in Egypt, and all parts of Crete, and strangers of Rome, Jews and proselytes. So what they're hearing is all the Jews. Well, first thing that we have to recognize is, why is there Jews there from all over the world? Why were they there? They're not normally all there in Jerusalem, all gathered together like that. The reason they are is, what day is this?
Pentecost.
It's Pentecost. Because why? Because the Father ordered them to celebrate Pentecost every year, because remember what you read in the first, it says, count 50, and that this is one of the times of the year that they're ordered to be in Jerusalem. The men are ordered to be in Jerusalem to worship the Father. And so that's why Yeshua told them to go and wait before he ascended to the final ascension, because then the Holy Ghost would descend upon them on that day. So here's the scenario. Everybody's in town for the big feast. That's why they're there. So what I said earlier, that Pentecost is something that already happened. It's not the birthday, and, oh, we named it Pentecost. Well, that most Christians don't even know the meaning of the word Pentecost, which means 50, and you counted 50 days. And so, therefore, that proves it already was. And what is it? It's the celebration of the giving of the Torah on Mount Sinai. And that's given the covenant to the people, the covenant in which we will all be into. Now, so also, you know, people, the New Testament church also tries to justify this, that, you know, what, see, this is the sign of the Holy Ghost. They were all out there babbling, you know, or talking in the heavenly language. No, they weren't talking in their heavenly language. It says right here in the Word that every man heard it in his own tongue in which he was born in. And so that's not strange tongues. It might have sounded at all. So I'm not done. Anyway, so this is what all coming around. And so they were amazed, and they couldn't believe. What does this mean, they said? So I'll go on with it, and then I'll do some more explaining. So they said in number 12, verse 12, Acts 2, verse 12. And they were all amazed and were in doubt, saying one to another, "What meaneth this?" And others mocking say, "These men are full of new wine." But Peter, now this Peter's getting ready to give one of the greatest sermons there ever was in my books. But Peter, standing up with the 11, so that makes with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, "You men of Judea, all you that dwell at Jerusalem, let this be known unto you, and hearken unto my words. For they are not drunken as you suppose, seeing it is just the third hour of the day. But this is what was spoken of by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith Yahweh, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and my handmaidens I will pour out to those the days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in heaven above, and signs in the earth beneath, and blood, fire, vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and moon into blood before the great and notable day of Yahweh come. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord Yeshua shall be saved. You men of Israel, hear these words. Yeshua of Nazareth, a man approved of Yahweh among you by miracles, wonders, and signs, which Yahweh did by him in the midst of you, as you yourselves also know. Him being delivered by a determinate counsel and foreknowledge of Yahweh, ye have taken him by wicked hands, have crucified and slain, whom Yahweh hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. For David concerning him, I foresaw Yahweh, or the Lord Yeshua, always before my face, for he is on my right hand, that I should not be moved. Therefore did my heart rejoice, and my tongue was glad. Moreover, also my flesh shall rest in hope, because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither thou wilt suffer thy Holy One to see corruption. Thou hast made known to me the ways of life. Thou shalt make me full of joy and with thy countenance. Men and brethren, let me speak freely. Speak unto of the patriarch David, that is both dead and buried, and in his sepulcher, which is grave, in his grave, which is upon us, even to this day. So he said David's not even ascended yet to the throne.
He's still in his grave.
He's still in his grave. He has not ascended, okay? Men and brethren, let me speak freely. Oh, okay, we did that one. Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that Yahweh has sworn with an oath to him the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise Messiah up to sit on his throne. You hear that? That's also proof of virgin birth, that Yahweh came from, it says, it came from his loins, from the loins of Yahweh. He is Yahweh's seed. Okay. He, seeing this before, spake the resurrection of Messiah, that his soul was not left in hell, nor his flesh did see corruption. This Yeshua hath God raised up, wherefore we are all witnesses. Therefore, by being at the right hand of Yahweh exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he had shed forth this, which you now see and hear. Now, for David, for David is not ascended up to the heavens, but he saith himself, the Lord, that's Yahweh, capital letters, Yahweh saith unto my Lord, sit thou at my right hand. He told Yeshua, sit down at my right hand.
Right.
So you have a father and a son, right? Okay. Until I make thy foes thy footstool. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that Yahweh hath made the same Yeshua whom you crucified, both Lord and Messiah. Now, when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart, and they said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what should we do? Now, stop here a second. What shall we do? He convicted them. They were convicted of their heart that they had crucified the Savior. That made them guilty of murder and a bunch of other numerous things. But if the Old Testament and the Torah was done away, then that means the murder would be done away with too, and all of these other things. But it isn't, because they couldn't have been convicted of it if it was done away with. Okay? So they were convicted of doing this to Yeshua. And so, man, it's just so terrible. Now we'll go on. Okay, they were convicted of it. And they said, what shall we do? Then Peter says unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, for remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For this promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord Yeshua, our God, shall call, our Yahweh shall call. Anyway, in many other words did they testify and exhort, said, save yourselves from this untoward generation. Then they gladly received his word and were baptized, and the same day were added unto them around, what number?
3,000 souls.
That number have any meaning to you?
Yeah, 3,000 were taken Pentecost before, and 3,000 were added back at this Pentecost.
Okay, so here's what we see. Here's a picture that we see in this. Number one, these are both Pentecosts. The first Pentecost, these people, without the blood of Yeshua, were slain and put to death. They got the death penalty for their sins. They got the death penalty. That's how 3,000 were slain. They died a physical death, and probably a spiritual death, but it's not for me, Yahweh, to judge them. I'm not Yahweh, and I can't judge them. So, but my point, but now it's not Yahweh that judges, because it, later it tells us that in the word that, all judgment was given over to Yeshua. So he'll do the final judgment. So it's all over to Yeshua. But my point is, but now with repentance and acceptance of Yeshua, these people were convicted of murder in their hearts. They realized it. And they did what? They repented and were baptized and received the gift of the Holy Ghost. You know? And so this is what Pentecost is on. And I'm just a Bible guy. I just can't, I got like about 5 verses left. I just gotta read them because I just gotta read them.
You gotta finish the story.
Yeah, I gotta finish the story. And that's the way you should do. You can't, don't scripture pick. You know, take a little bit out and twist it into something. So, okay, that was 41. And 42, they pick up the story and they say, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and breaking of bread and in prayers. The breaking of bread is they broke bread from house to house. And, you know, now the Catholic Church calls it the Lord's Supper, but that isn't it. It was a covenant meal because, you know, we need to get into covenants because every time there's a covenant made and you come into the covenant, you break bread and drink wine, you know. It's a celebration of the covenant, and it's a sign. And that's what Yeshua did at the Last Supper. The Last Supper was a covenant meal. What?
And make sure it's unleavened bread. You never use bread with leaven in it, because what's leaven? It represents sin, and there wasn't a drop of sin in Yeshua. So if you're going to use something to represent his body, don't use leavened bread.
Right, yeah, use a dry cracker. No, the dry
crackers.
Don't
use crackers. Crackers have leaven in them.
Yeah, so what is unleavened?
Unleavened is without anything that causes it to rise.
Right.
Leaven is a representation of sin.
Right, right. And so basically you can make matzah, which is flour and water, right?
Right.
As long as it's what? Not self-rising flour.
Yeah, it can't have baking soda, baking powder, sodium bicarbonate, yeast, anything
right.
that causes it to rise.
Okay, so anyway, so let me finish this. Okay, where will we go here? Okay, I'm going to read that. Okay, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and breaking of bread and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. Excuse me. And they all that believed were together and had all things in common. They sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need. And they continued daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house. And did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising Yahweh and having favor with all the people. Yeshua added to the church daily such as should be saved. So what we have here, there's so much more fullness. This puts a lot more meaning into just the Holy Ghost came upon them, you know what I'm saying, and okay, now this is the birthday of the church on a day called Pentecost. Well, the Christian church doesn't go, I have never, until later in life when I was young, I heard about Pentecost all the time. I never, ever heard it explained to me why it was called Pentecost. I just assumed they named it after that happened. They named it Pentecost. I didn't know the meaning of the word. I just knew people were Pentecostal, you know, and that was because they, you know.
And I always thought it was named after the Pentecostals.
Right, because they
Pentecostal day.
Yeah, you know, the holy rollers, those that used to literally roll around on the floor and all that.
Well, they still
stuff.
Do.
You know, I assume I haven't been to a holy roller church in many, many years. Did you ever go to one and see
one? No, I've been to one in Wichita, yeah. They do some wild dancing and rolling on the floor and yelling and screaming up and down the hall and all
yeah,
that.
Good yeah, stuff. All that funny stuff. Now, you know, I'm not saying that there isn't a thing that called a... There isn't a thing called a, heavenly language or talking in specific tongues. I'm not saying there isn't that, but the word's real specific about it. It says, if you do not do that in assembly unless it's in order and somebody interprets what they're saying, you know.
It's not of God unless there's an interpreter in the room to interpret it for everyone to understand it.
Right, and I do remember at the Word of Life Church when a guy would talk, say he was going to prophesy in tongues. They had a guy that came up that somebody
and told everybody exactly what he was saying.
There was another person that interpreted and said what they were saying. Now, amen. But my point is though, I'm talking about Pentecost, and everybody should be celebrating Pentecost. You know, it's coming this weekend, and it's a celebration of the giving of the Torah on Mount Sinai. That's when that is when we got his covenant. You know what I'm saying? Part of his covenant anyway. And we're grafted into that. And, you know, when he returns, they say, well, we're in the new covenant now. And we had somebody pop up that says, they missed the part in the Bible where they said there was a translator. Now, if you go and read the word where Paul talks about it, he specifically points out that if you prophesy, you know, and speak in tongues, that somebody interprets it. Otherwise, it's out of order. Otherwise, Paul goes on into detail and says that otherwise, what about if somebody comes in from the outside? He basically says they're going to think that you're all nuts.
Right.
And that's what Paul says. He says, so you have to have a way. What good does it do for somebody to come in from someplace else and hear something that they can't understand? Then it does them no good. It's
right.
Better to give them a couple of words than words that they can understand. And I will send this person a thing about what I'm talking about, the scriptures, after the radio program. In the first, there was no need of a we're talking about two different things. We're talking about speaking in tongues, and what happened here at Pentecost was not what you call speaking in heavenly tongues.
No, they was in everyone's language, so everyone there would understand what that was being said.
Right. So, I'll just use modern language, but like if there were Germans and Italians there, an Italian would have heard it in Italian language. A German would have heard it in German, an American would have heard it in American, and that's what they heard. They heard a whole bunch of different languages, but the languages was each to the specific person or peoples that from the countries they were in. So anyway, there is, it does say it, Paul talks about it, and I'll send the scripture afterwards. But anyway, everybody out there, you need to celebrate Pentecost. Pray about it, and if you need to know more information, amen. We will in the future. I think our programs, Mom and I's programs, is while we will still do some current events, we're going to try now to start going forward, focusing on some at least one small biblical lesson in every one of our radio programs, because I just think you need that. But anyway, moving right along, we only got a couple minutes left, so let's talk about the Mission Church. And folks, I posted we need large print King James Version Bibles, and I posted a thing where you can even buy cases of them. If you go to the pastor's page at prophecyhour.com, you'll find them. So anything you want to throw in here? We got a couple of minutes about the church or anything.
Yeah, we're coming up on our 20th year of serving the people and serving the Lord, and we want to have a celebration, and we're working on a little barbecue get-together with the band out back for June 18th. And so we're still needing some help financing the food, because we're wanting to do hamburgers and brats and play some music for the people in celebration of 20 years.
Right, amen. And so, folks, I'm not really worried about the music and all that. One way or another, we'll get through with that. But we really need to come up with $500 for this event. for food, period, so we can get all the things for the people. That's the number that you gave me. Is that
right? Because I want to do fresh hamburgers.
Yeah, fresh hamburgers.
I don't want to do frozen patties
that you buy at Walmart.
My little quarter pound Betty B burgers.
Yeah, well, we'll have to tell the story of that later, but they don't know what you're talking about. But anyway, so yeah, amen. So we really want to do this for the people, and then we will be start. We've already started. We're in our 20th year right now.
Yep, June 13th.
Yeah,
June 1st started. The June 13th when we moved in the building.
Right.
June 1st is our. Yeah, we're in our first week of our 20th year. Hey.
Yeah, amen.
Happy anniversary.
And my 34th year of you. Like I said the other day, it seems like you've always been in my life. I'll be 64 July 4th this year, and it seems like
I've been
just
over
always,
half your life. Over
oh
half.
Oh, my gosh. Folks, pray for me. Anyway, moving right along. So, okay, but in normal things, we still need the normal things to pay the mission church bills. We really need those. And here's the big thing. We're now in summer. And summer donations, I can tell, they've already went down. I'm having a problem paying radio, folks. I owe half of last month, and this month just came due on the 1st. I need to pay radio. I have to pay $250 a month, American Voice Radio, so that you can hear us, on satellite and all the different ways that you can, and you can hear us live. And so we need a sponsor. We used to have, over the years, I've had several different sponsors, but we need a sponsor now, or a couple of sponsors that you can say, hey, well, I can't pay all of it every month, but I'd like to pay 50 or 125 or whatever. When we get to 250, I'll say, stop. I don't need any more sponsors for radio because there won't be a need for it. So if you want to be a sponsor for radio, send me an email or when you send the money, say, radio. Whenever you make a donation for radio, please mark it as radio, whether it goes in the mail or what it does. Otherwise, we put everything into just general fund, and it gets used for what is the most immediate need at that moment. Because believe me, they come, how fast do the needs come?
Oh, many every day.
Every day, yeah. Every day. It just seems like one after another. And, you know, it isn't like Messiah's Branch is some big, huge church. You know, we are just basically a family home church with a building. And the building is because that we were told to take care of the people. And that's what we do. So that's what Messiah's Branch is. And so we don't have a huge amount of money to do all these things. It takes thousands of dollars a month to do.
And you can find out about all of us and everything we do, radio, all the feeding of the people, pictures of the people, everything is right over there at prophecyhour.com.
Well, okay. You know, folks, remember, we are the last hope for many people. We are responsible. Every one of us, every one of you out there, we're all responsible to care for one for another. It's because we are our brother's keepers. All donations, every one of them, no matter what size, help. And the Father notices all donations that come from where?
Your heart.
Your heart. Now, you can donate online or over the phone or by mailing a check or money order. And you can find all that information at, where was it you said?
Prophecyhour.com.
That's prophecyhour.com. And you can find ways to contact us there and everything. And I'm getting ready to do a little work on that page. But if somebody knows how to work on WordPress pages, my other main radio pages, not prophecyhour.com, but messiahsbranch.org, need work done. So if somebody knows how to work with WordPress pages and could help me out there and you want to volunteer, great. And we will be going to Feast of Tabernacles this year. We will tell you where at later. And in the meantime, better tell them goodbye.
Well, shalom. Have a nice week.
All right. Well, we must remember, folks, there is only one God. He is your Father. He's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. His Son is Yeshua HaMashiach. He gave his life for our repented sins, and he rose after 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. And through him, and only through him, is the way to the Father. Remember, always, always, always be a blessing to others. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. That's praying for Yeshua's return. Anything else you want to say?
Shalom.
Lord our God, Father King Universe, asking Yeshua HaMashiach's name, that Father, you would bless and keep them, and that your face would shine upon them, and that you would be gracious to them, and give them peace like no one or nothing else can. Until next week, this is Pastor Dan saying goodbye and shalom.
You've just heard the Messiah's Branch broadcast featuring Pastor Dan. To contact Dan on the internet, go to messiahsbranch.org. To write to Dan, send a note to Messiah's Branch, 230 West 4th Street, Florence, Kansas, 66851. Tune in next time for Messiah's Branch.